You to remain standing as you're able in reverence for God's Word as we come to our Gospel lesson this morning. The Gospel lesson comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke this morning, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Let us hear now the Word of the Lord. After Jesus had said this, He went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As He approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as He had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As He went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when He came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," He replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." You may be seated. And let us pray. Oh God, we pray that You would come over us. And to God, we pray that You would overcome us. Amen. This morning in our epistle lesson from Paul's letter to the church of Philippi, Paul was writing about the nature of Christ. The way in which Jesus, though being very God, did not see equality with God as something to be grasped or something to be exploited, but rather He humbled Himself to be a servant. Now most of the time, and for all of Jesus' earthly life, we really see Jesus in all of His humility. Never calling attention to Himself, never asking people to lift Him up. In fact, we know a great deal. We talked about this several weeks ago, but we see the setup for His ministry all the way back in Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, even before Jesus is rejected at Nazareth after He has been baptized, we read these words in Luke 4, starting in verse 1. "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days He was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, He was hungry. The devil said to Him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man does not live on bread alone.' The devil led Him up to a high place and showed Him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And He said to Him, 'I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to Me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship Me, it will all be yours.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only.' The devil led Him to Jerusalem and had Him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' He said, 'throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered, 'It says, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. And yet we see in the totality of Jesus' ministry, not just his ability to flee from these temptations of the devil in the desert, but in all of his everyday life. He is God Almighty. He could have ascended to any earthly throne whenever he wanted. He has armies of angels at his disposal with which he could overcome and overpower any earthly army. He could have lived a life of health, not a life of pain. Certainly not what we're going to see in the coming week of being beaten, being humiliated, having a thorn of crowns twisted and put upon his head. He did not have to suffer any of those things. You know, I'm convinced of this. That in our culture today, no less than that culture in that day, that we are looking for a Savior. Now, we don't use that language. Our culture doesn't use that language. We're more looking for a hero. And I don't just mean the 1980s song. Some of you are about my age, you'll get that, right? Looking for a hero. But we see it in Netflix. And we see it in the new Disney streaming. And we see it teased in trailers. And we see it in crossover films. We see it in the DC universe and the Marvel universe. But everyone's looking for a hero. Our world, I am convinced, is looking for a hero that will save us, that will bring us salvation. But we have not and are not looking in our culture for a hero, for a savior like Jesus, not for a king like Jesus, just as in that day they were not looking for a king like Jesus, a king filled with humility, a king willing to put others before himself. And this is the one glimpse where really Jesus allows any kind of accolades to come his way, any type of praise. As he enters into Jerusalem, and we know, as Paul Harvey says, we know the rest of the story. That he enters into Jerusalem, that the scriptures tell us that before this, that he had set his face toward Jerusalem, not to come as a warring and conquering king, but rather to go to the cross. But the disciples on this Palm Sunday, the first Palm Sunday, they don't know that. They are not privy to the rest of the story. And they certainly don't know of the glory of the resurrection that will take place in 1 week. What they see is someone who can finally begin to save them, to bring them some economic stability, to overthrow Pontius Pilate and the Caesar. For once again, for there to be the establishment of the kingdom of Israel as things ought to be like. Today, no less than in that day, we look for people, right, who we think have power, who can fulfill the promises, essentially, that are the promises that Satan makes to Jesus. Promises of comfort. Promises of full bellies. Right? What politician was it that was going to put a chicken in every pot? Roosevelt. And really, I mean, we've been voting for people to put chickens in our pots ever since. Regardless of party, right? We want someone who will come as a conquering king, who will restore, who will establish justice, who will wield power. And instead, what the Jews got in the first century is what we get in the 21st century. Instead, we get Jesus. He comes, you would think that, Jesus, at least get yourself a decent quarter horse. Right? Get you a fine white steed to come with, you know, with a tooled saddle with your name in it, right? I mean, get you a nice looking bridle. Anybody remember that? It seems like in movies these days they're making all these live action films of what were cartoons back when I was a kid. Remember Aladdin? Remember he came in and he was he, fabulous he, Prince Ali Baba? Remember that fanfare? And it could only be done with the 50 voices of... But he came in riding on an elephant. No horse would do. Because he's he, fabulous he, Prince Ali Baba. And it's all a mirage. There's no power in it. And yet here Jesus comes, riding on a colt that's never been ridden. Now let me just say, you talk about miracles of miracles. Have you ever ridden on a colt that's never been ridden? I suspect you won't be riding for long. But here's Jesus, meek and mild, who takes the lowliest and the untrained of beasts to come and give us this sliver of hope for us to see that He's a King like no other King. He's a Savior like no other Savior. We come today and we live in a world where I am convinced if there is anything that we are short on, that we are woefully short in the commodity of hope. Think about it for a minute. Where is our culture to put their hope? I mean, yesterday afternoon, we could have put our hope in Kyle Schwarber stepping up to home plate with two out and two on. Right? The tying run 90 feet from home plate. Or if you were me with my Minnesota North Stars shirt on last night, I could have put my hope in Ben Bishop to stop a hockey puck in overtime. We put our hope in politicians every 4 years to change something. But we live in a world in which, and maybe you saw the news this week, I think it's ongoing news. What's called the rise of the nuns, that there are more people in the United States than ever who consider that they have no religion. Well, let me just tell you that they have as much religion as everybody else, because to be human, to have a human experience, is to be religious. Because we all put our hope and our trust in something. We all worship something. The question is not if we worship, the question is what will we worship? And we as a people, we as the church, Paul puts it this way, that we have this treasure stored up in earthen vessels, talking about ourselves, that is the hope for the world. We have Christ. Every person, every system, every bat that the world puts their hope in will fail. But we as the church, we are called to rejoice in who Jesus is, to know that He is the King, that He is the Blessed One who has come in the name of the Lord. Anyone know what Hosea means? We say it every year. God save us. Hosanna, God save us. They were heralding Him as the Messiah, the Anointed One of God, the Christ, who would come and would save them. See, I believe that we as the church, we have our work cut out for us because in many ways we live in a culture that doesn't think they need saving. Saving from what? And not only that, but we are called to be Christ's ambassadors in the world. That we know that this good news of Jesus as our King is not just news for us. Jesus didn't come just for the salvation of those who huddle. Or just those who gather on Sunday mornings. Jesus came for the salvation of the world. He came and He gave to us this good news that we are not called to keep to ourselves, but we are called to share. We come to this table to be reminded of the price that He paid to purchase us. And we are called, as we actually in the liturgy say these words of Hosanna in the highest, we say them every week, and we come and we talk about the way in which we find union with Christ so that we might be in the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood, that we might be a living sacrifice. Today, as we live our lives, not just today, but in the living of our lives these days, may we be those that with our voice and with our lives wave the accolades that are due to Christ. That we would always be quick to give a response for the hope that we have in Christ.